You make me feel so...
It's Friday!
Okay! Tokyo!
South America!
Australia!
France!
Germany!
UK!
Africa!
Here we go! Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. We're off and running for this 29th day of December 2017. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That, of course, is where you go. If you'd like to be part of the Madcap Mary Multimedia Zany Wacky real-time extravaganza that takes place when this program is live, the 3 hours every day when it is, between 6 and 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and by Jove, just jump right in. Where you will be on this particular evening, you will be immediately greeted by the likes of Anatole and Earther and Laborman and Silent R. Lamar and Ralphs and B.T. Blom, all capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master, has folded space and then folded it back, and remains this evening Sparky, because I think the space there at the man cave might be a little bit uncomfortable. That's my guess. Brother Deacon Asa tells me we're 5x5 on both headon.live and whiterosesociety.org. The stream running at full bitrate. This last week has been an absolute horn miracle. It has been. Absolutely, positively. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. And thanks, Jack, for letting me... apparently, Jack is experiencing the same thing. Both streams working. Will wonders never cease? I cannot tell you how happy that makes me. Something working here at the Horn. The phones still aren't, I can tell you that much. It's kind of a giant pain in the ass, but Skype is still a mess, as far as I can tell. I've tinkered with it all day long. Thank you, Silent R. Lamar. Bob, it's been a good week listening without you having to fundraise. I hope I can help again. That was tremendous help, Silent R. Lamar. That was tremendous help indeed. Thank you very, very kindly. And we have thanks to send out to our subscribers this evening. Thank you very kindly to Terry in Amherst, where they don't pronounce the H. And to Karen in Ohio, where they do pronounce the H. And thanks as well to Kay in California, where there isn't any H. So I think we've got the alphabet covered there, and that is extremely helpful indeed. Thank you to all of our subscribers, and thank you to everybody who's made this a fundraising-free end of the month of December and end of the year 2017. Thank you very, very kindly indeed. There's Steve from Georgia Stan wandering into the room. Hope Ms. Karen's doing better, Steve. Any update there? So, I thought we had a good bit of fun last night dealing with that prank phone call that our ambassador to the United Nations, simpleton that she is, allowed herself to be hoodooed into by a couple of wacky, zany radio jocks from Moscow. Yeah. Oh, dear God, these people. So I'll be continuing to tinker with Skype over the weekend. It is, of course, Friday on the front porch here, which means that it's going to be a little bit weird. Yeah, nobody said anything about Hollywood, Silent R. Lamar. California. I said California. There's no H in California, as far as I can tell. So, right. Kid Mark wandering into the chat room. Yay. No, like I said, it's Friday on the front porch, and that means that it's going to be... it's going to be Friday on the front porch, maybe a little bit weird. I haven't heard anything from Sparky, but I'm guessing what he'll have to do is have people, he'll do his thing on his end for Friday on the front porch. And then I'll have to call him, because nobody can call me, but I can call out. I have no idea why whatsoever. I'm just, nope. Nope, not. Sorry. Yep. It could be that I'm just not nutritionally. I'm not nutritionally balanced enough to sort out the problems with Skype. That's why I got a note today from the hardworking periodontic scientists at Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs. On Twitter today. Being as how it's New Year's, they're breaking with tradition. Mm-hmm. They are. They're trying to work all of the they're trying to work the entire New Year's the New Year's menu into their into our supplements here. And to that end, I'm proud to announce that they have formulated your it was as shocking to me as it will be to you. They have formulated highfalutin hog gel. That's right, highfalutin hog gel from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter is your complete hog gel nutritional requirement for an entire day. That's right, yes. Highfalutin hog gel from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And it's something special because it's a proprietary hog jowl preparation. And I can proudly announce that that highfalutin hog jowl from the hardworking periodontic peripatetic scientists at Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. Well, I can tell you that it is a preparation that is proprietary, as noted. It is it's GMO free. It's gluten-free, free-range, cage-free, cruelty-free, vegan, highfalutin hog gel from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. You know, I love me some hog gel. I do. I eat it at any time of the year. I don't just save it for New Year's. Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. And, you know, you save that skin and you use it to cook, when you cook a big pot of beans. Oh, mercy. It is some kind of good highfalutin hog jowl from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. And even though I like it, I can't get enough of it. And that's why I take my daily dose of highfalutin hog jowl from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. I do every day. You can, too, if you call now because operators aren't standing by, and order a 3-month supply of highfalutin hog jowl for yourself. Yes, yes, yes. Only the finest hog jowl goes into highfalutin hog jowl. And you can tell. Because a 3-month supply is only $122.19. And that does not include $317.16 in shipping. Okay. That's right, highfalutin hog jowl. Delicious. And for that, with that 3-month supply, we will send you a bundle of little test strips so that you can find out for yourself what we already know here at Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter, that there is absolutely no nutritional value whatsoever in highfalutin hog jowl. In fact, there's no hog jowl at all. In fact, there aren't any capsules. Because, in fact, highfalutin hog jowls from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter is just another bullshit nutritional supplement that you have to have if you want to be a real, live, honest-to-goodness, professional broadcasting radio operation. Yep, highfalutin hog jowl. Accept no substitutes, post no bills, this side up, use no hooks, FOB, COD, NFL, NBA, NHL. Order yours today. They wouldn't be real, honest-to-goodness, bona fide, useless test strips if they weren't already certified useless, Earthers. So, in answer to your question, are the test strips certified useless? They absolutely are. And that'll get us started for the evening. What's this from Billable Rick? Bonomo, my discovery. I just found Bonomo on the globe. It happens to be close to Bimini. I'm planning on selling round-trip tickets to get there. Perhaps Nimrata Haley will be my first customer. Happy New Year. Go Northwestern Cats and Iowa Hawkeyes. Well, I'm glad you've still got something to root for. My Mountaineers are done. Well, I mean, at least we got basketball season. And at least the Mountaineers are respectable in that regard. But I'll still be watching a whole bunch of football come Monday. And that's why there won't be any program here Monday night. Oh, long weekend. I'm taking a night off. How about that? I know, surprising, isn't it? Anyway, everybody's trying to find Bonomo on the map. Arthur asks, isn't Bonomo west of the Isle of Rand McNally? And yes, the second star to the right and straight on till morning, Arthur. Absolutely. So, where do you want to start this evening? You know, we deal with some real, live, genuine right-wing stupidity here. How about this? You know how Jeff was writing to us from what he referred to as Hellhole, Indiana last night? Hey, Jeff knows of which he speaks. There is a law being proposed in the state of Talibandiana. I'm not kidding. Jesus. Representative Milo Smith, of course he's a pig licking, interviewed by a publication called the Indiana Star, said he will introduce legislation into the Talibandiana legislature saying, our government isn't perfect, but it's still the best country in the world, and I think we need to be respectful of it. So what's the bill going to do? Well, any fan showing up to an Indianapolis Colts football game would be entitled to a ticket price refund if they are offended because a member of the Indianapolis Colts kneels during the national anthem. No, really. We're still not past that. We're still not past that stupidity. I'm not kidding. By the way, it wouldn't... once upon a time, it wouldn't have lasted as long as a snowflake in hell before the Supreme Court of the United States. Now, however, now that Ann's boy Neil has replaced good old dead Tony Scalia, you got Roberts, him, Alito, Kennedy. Roberts, Gorsuch, Alito, Grack, Gorsuch, Roberts, Alito, Kennedy, and Thomas. Grack. But anyway, you've got enough there, you know, to maybe uphold it and just say to hell with the First Amendment. Because it was a long time ago in Booz versus Barry, B-O-O-S, not B-O-O-Z-E. That the Supreme Court made it clear that you can't pass laws. I mean, you know, this is all goes all the way back to 1988. The question presented in this case is whether a provision of the District of Columbia Code, Section 22.11.15, violates the First Amendment. This section prohibits the display of any sign within 500 feet of a foreign embassy if that sign tends to bring that foreign government into public odium or public disrepute. It also prohibits any congregation of three or more persons within 500 feet of a foreign embassy. Yeah, no. As a consequence of that, well, you would think that this stupid law wouldn't, like I said, would have all the staying power of a snowflake in hell. But he'll introduce it, and the maggots will love it, because, of course, you know, if you don't stand for the national anthem, you don't live in America. Uh-huh. Right? What a great big whomping boatload of stupid. But then again, we're talking about maggots, so who's surprised? Note coming in from Jack in Shreveport. Ticket refund. Is that offer for a ticket refund for a moral hazard? It's encouraging people to take money when they're not offended, if they're willing to lie and say they are. Ah. Since when do Republicans have problems lying? Oh, a little background on Milo Smith. Jeff from Hellhole, Indiana, letting me know. Milo Smith is a special kind of stupid. That's S-T-O-O-O-O-O-O-P-I-D. Stupid. Stupid. And that's quite a trick from the state that gave us the kings of dumb fuckery like Dan Quayle, Mitch Daniels, and Mike Pence. So we got that going on, which is goofy. But there's ever so much other stuff to deal with as well. And who knows what folks will want to bring to the table on the once we get the front porch portion of the program going. There has been an update to the from the American Psychoanalytic Association. They were the ones who imposed what was called the Goldwater Rule, saying that psychologists and psychiatrists could not diagnose people at a distance. It was called the Goldwater Rule because of the number of people in that profession who felt pretty confident that Barry Goldwater was knucking futz when he ran for president in 1964. And it has been in place up until this time. However, they sent an email out, the American Psychoanalytic Association. They sent an email out this month to their 3,500 members. And they cited belief in the value of psychoanalytic knowledge in explaining human behavior. Association past president Dr. Prudence Gugashon in Chicago said, "We don't want to prohibit our members from using their knowledge responsibly." Of course, psychological professionals, psychiatrists and the like, also have what's known as a, and it's fairly well defined in both law and literature, a duty to warn. In other words, if somebody is so around the bend that they're likely to cause harm, then the analyst or the treating physician, whatever, has a duty to warn people about that condition. Because it's become an issue with people watching Geezer Disgustus and all of his varied forms of profoundly unstable appearing behavior and conduct. There's been a lot of pushback against the Goldwater Rule, and the association seems to have recognized that. So maybe we'll get a little more insight. One individual Dr. Glass, Dr. Leonard Glass, a psychiatrist at Harvard Medical School, said, "In the case of Donald Trump, there is an extraordinary abundance of speech and behavior on which one could form a judgment. It's not definitive. It's an informed hypothesis, and one we should be able to offer rather than the stunning silence demanded by the Goldwater Rule." So maybe keep an eye out, because you might see more stuff along those lines. And he, you know, Trump gets a little bit more frightening every day. Not because of his genius, not because of his tremendous power of persuading the populace to come along on his policies and his ideas. But because he seems to be a little bit crazier every day. Like the global warming tweet. I'm sure you've seen that by now. In the East, it could be the coldest, all caps, coldest, coldest New Year's Eve on record. Perhaps we could use a little bit of that good old global warming that our capital C country, capital G global, capital W warming, but not other countries, was going to pay, all caps, trillions of dollars to protect against, bundled up. Yeah, this is the stupidest thing a Republican has done relative to climate change since coal-fired Jim Inhofe, Jim Snowball Inhofe, brought a snowball into the well of the Senate because it was snowing in Washington, D.C. in fucking January to prove that global warming wasn't real. The fact of the matter is, one of the tenets of global climate change is that you will see unexpected extremes in weather events from year to year to year, and that the extremes will become more and more broad. Given that the dumbass in the White House has said that this disproves global warming, guess what? Even though that brutal air mass is all over the United States right now, well, pretty much the entire eastern half of the United States and as far west as, like, the western edge of, say, Kansas and well up into Canada, well, the rest of the world is unseasonably, abnormally hot or warm, at the very least. If you look at a heat map, you'll see, for instance, that the great bulk of Eurasia is experiencing massively warmer temperatures than, say, we are. We could ask our friends in the Southern Hemisphere how summer's going. Every now and then, we get a note from our buddy Robert in Australia, who points out that, and I can see it on this map in front of me here, that it's right abnormally toasty down there in and about New South Wales, and extending well inland and southwards as well. But Donald Trump says he's making fun because there's no climate change. Thank you, Arthur. The hottest temperature on Earth is well below 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Ha ha, no global warming, Kincaid. Huge scam, huge, believe me, huge fake news. Yeah, thank you, Arthur. Thank you very kindly. It's just, it's the hits just keep on rolling. And here, just fun with journalism as we wrap up the week. Try this on for a headline. This isn't from The Onion. This isn't a joke. Tim Marson, writing 2 days ago at Newsweek, wrote an article about the annual Most Admired Woman poll. Headline: Melanoma Trump is more popular than Kate Middleton and Beyonce, latest admiration poll says. Which kind of creates the idea that maybe she's at the top of the heap? Melanoma? With or without clothes? Right? So let's go to the body of the article and find out. More folks... Newsweek. I remember when Newsweek didn't use the word folks. More folks admire First Lady Melanoma Trump than singer Beyonce or Duchess of Cambridge Kate Middleton, according to the latest poll from Gallup released Wednesday. Americans, this is paragraph 2, mind you, Americans were asked by the polling firm, What woman that you have heard or read about living today in any part of the world do you admire most? And who is your second choice? That's a direct quote. So we've got the setup for the poll there. It was apparently a tight race. We're still in paragraph two. It was apparently a tight race, but Trump ultimately proved more popular among the survey's 1,049 respondents. That's the end of paragraph number two. So if you're the average American, and God knows if you're one of the maggots.
See, it's just like that lady in Clay County, West Virginia said. They done brought classiness back to the White House. She's so classy, even when she got clothes on.
Paragraph three, though. Remember, here's the headline. I won't call her melanoma again. Melania Trump is more popular than Kate Middleton and Beyonce, latest admiration poll says. Now, in journalism school, they would call this a buried lead. Or maybe just downright dishonest and disingenuous. Because you got to get down to the third paragraph before you read the following. Former Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton was the most admired woman among the Americans polled by Gallup. Former First Lady Michelle Obama was second. Media mogul Oprah Winfrey was third. Trump, Beyonce, and Middleton all earned 1% of votes, but it appears the current First Lady edged out the singer and British royal. So the real headline should read, Hillary Clinton remains the most admired woman in America for the umpty bajillionth time. Hillary! Goddamn DNC! The devil! Yeah, right. Yeah. Is it too much to ask these highfalutin for-profit media organizations not to just engage in outright unmitigated, unalloyed, 200-proof bullshit in their reporting? Because, see, that's the phrase of 2017, fake news, and that headline and the first two paragraphs are fake news. It's kind of like saying that the San Diego Chargers are a better team than the Cleveland Browns. It's true. But it creates the impression that those are the two best teams in the NFL. When in fact, nothing could be further from the truth. In terms of popularity, Melanoma Trump wasn't even in the same goddamned area code with Hillary Clinton. But Newsweek doesn't dare print that. Oh, no, because the toddler Tiberius in the White House might tweet something mean at them. See how it works? Jesus. Jack in Shreveport with a note. Subject line, snowball. That's like me bringing an ice cube into Congress to prove pieces of the Arctic ice are breaking off into the sea. Yes, it is like that. Like another number of things. God damn, that's stupid, though. Melania Trump more popular than Kate Middleton. Yeah. Where's the rest of the headline, though? Lots less popular than Hillary Clinton and Michelle Obama, though. Yeah, just kind of hitting some of the high points this evening. Earlier, toward the end of the week last week, after the tax bill passed and all of those stories started circulating about how all these people are going to get a $1,000 raise and blah, 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 you know, and AT&T plans to lay off and fire more than 1,000 workers starting early next year, according to local reports. Across the Midwest, an estimated 600 workers were notified they were being laid off by the company on December 16th, the week before AT&T announced it was doling out $1,000 bonuses to 200,000 of its employees in celebration of the Republican Party's tax overhaul, I'll add parenthetically, and the nasty little bit of business committed by Agitpi. The telecommunications giant told the Chicago Tribune in a statement that the most of the affected workers are from its landline and other legacy service sectors, but the company didn't say how many workers total would still be employed in 2018. Yeah, I know. I know. Let's check in also down in Tennistan, shall we? Where there's going to be an open Senate seat. The legislature there is going to have, it's going to have some new digs. The Tennessean, and Joel Ebert, writing for the USA Today Network, says, Tennesseans will be allowed to bring their guns to the new home of the legislature, but must leave any handheld signs behind, according to a recently implemented policy. I'm not kidding. The policy, which Lieutenant Governor Randy McNally, R. Oak Ridge, and House Speaker Beth Harwell, R. Nashville, approved on December 14th, expressly prohibits hand-carried signs and signs on hand sticks because they, quote, represent a serious safety hazard. On the other hand, they can bring their guns. Yeah, are we clear about that? Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. Ken Paulson, president of Middle Tennessee State University's First Amendment Center and dean of the school's College of Media and Entertainment, said, any rational person would have to suspect this is an attempt in part to limit dissent and to avoid embarrassment to lawmakers. Yeah, but the lawmakers aren't particularly... they don't want to be embarrassed, but they don't feel so bad about possibly being shot. Note, I am not suggesting they should be. Any of them. At all. I'm nonviolent. But one seems to be missing the forest for all the damn trees when one bans protest signs, but not guns. There are also no animals to be allowed in the new Cordell Hull building. Service animals are still welcome. But no longer will people like Senator John Lundberg, a Republican from Bristol, will be able to bring his dog to the legislature. Did the dog get a vote? I don't know. If you've got a valid gun permit, however, you can bring your weapon into the building. Before the move, you couldn't do that. On the other hand, you can't bring the guns into the state capitol. And the governor of Tennessee has said, "Hey, it ain't my fault. The Capitol Commission is in charge of what's allowed in the Capitol." As if to say, no, really, I'd be fine with y'all bringing you guns. Safety hazards. Yeah, that First Amendment, that's a sure enough, no kidding, safety hazard. You better damn well believe it. And by now, I presume most of you have read the latest interview with, you know, the Caratine Caligula. Crazy. Jeff from Hellhole, Indiana says, the only way to stop a bad guy with a sign is a good guy with a gun. That appears to be the thinking there in Tennistan as far as the legislature is concerned. Jesus. Yeah, more madness in the form of the in the form of this interview. But there's nothing new in that. This morning, in addition to other tweets, the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini may have put a stick in the spokes of any deal he might have worked out with regard to DACA and the Dreamers. It was 8:16 this morning when he tweeted, "The Democrats have been told and fully understand that there can be no DACA without the desperately needed wall," all caps, "wall, at the southern border," capital S, capital B. There's no rhyme, no reason. "And a capital, all caps, and to the horrible chain migration and ridiculous lottery system," chain migration and lottery system both get capital letters, "of capital I immigration ets. We must protect our country at all cost." It's actually the last sentence that gets me. "We must protect our country at all cost." So that means if it costs the Constitution, we must protect our country. If it costs the First Amendment, we must protect our country. If it costs the freedom of movement of American citizens, we must protect our country. If it means torturing children who are here by no fault of their own, we must protect our country. What are the 14 words again? Let's see. "We must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children." It's a straight-up neo-Nazi, white-wing, you know, evil. Yeah. And that sounds surprisingly like it. Chain migration, by the way, in case you're wondering, and I know you already know this, but just in case you don't, that's a term that the white wing uses to object to the fact that mommies and daddies get to immigrate to the United States, and that that an immigrant to the United States who becomes a U.S. citizen can then petition for their immediate near relatives, you know. Husbands for wives, wives for husbands for husbands, wives for wives, whatever, and their kids, and the parents of the requesting parties, to be allowed to immigrate to the United States. No quota on them. There's a quota on brothers, sisters, cousins, aunts, uncles. And it's been in place since 1965 when the Immigration and Nationality Act was passed. And that act replaced a quota system, a wholesale quota system, that favored white folks over the entire rest of the planet. And, of course, the Nazis and the Klansmen and their various and sundry sympathizers, otherwise known as the maggots, want to see that go away. So what Trump is saying is that he wants the Congress to do the bidding of neo-Nazis in coming to an agreement for the Dreamers and DACA. And that he also wants his goddamn wall. He's willing to hold little children hostage for his what is obviously the dumbest idea to come down the American political pike. In decades, if not a century. Now, Ron with the notes is, we must protect our country. You know, except from rampant gunplay. There we go. We must protect our country at all cost, but not at the cost of, you know, not letting people have weapons sufficient for the slaughter of, say, 60 people and wounding 500 plus more. That's a cost we can bear. Yeah, we clear about that? Yeah. It's a... It's an interesting end to the week. I'm not going to go into it in great detail, but you probably should apprise yourself of the latest interview with him. He was caught on, he was in the grill of his tacky little golf club. And just babbled on and on and on with no, you know, with no follow-up, no actual journalism going on. It's a New York Times story, so that means that it's mostly stenography. Because they do a lot of stenography where Trump is concerned. And just because, you know, just because it's the end of the year doesn't mean, well, no. Kansas. There was a prank call. It's a thing, a phenomenon known as swatting. Two Call of Duty players were feuding. And one prank called SWAT called another. And now a 28-year-old Kansas man is dead. Shot dead by police because of this SWAT prank call. Chief Deputy Troy Livingston of the Wichita Police said, "It was a shooting call at 6:15 p.m. involving hostages. The original call, we were told someone had an argument with their mother and dad was accidentally shot, and now that person was holding mother, brother, and sister hostage. We learned through that call that a father was deceased and had been shot in the head. That was the information we were working off of." So they showed up at the house, the Wichita police did, and when Andrew Finch came to the front door, they blew his brains out. Oh, okay, I don't know what they did with his brains. They shot him to death. Police don't think that Mr. Finch actually shot at the police, but they're not sure. The story goes that two gamers on Call of Duty were having an online argument about a wager of a buck or two. And one of them said, well, I'll call the SWAT team to your house. And then the guy who had been threatened with swatting gave a fake address. And then the police went to that address. Mr. Finch was not even a player of video games. He was just a 28-year-old guy answering the door. And now he didn't get to see the end of 2017. Jesus. No New Year's Eve for him. On the other hand, looks like it's going to be a pretty happy New Year's Eve for Rick Gates, indicted by Robert Mueller's grand jury. He has petitioned the court, I'm not kidding, to be released from house arrest so that he can attend a New Year's Eve event. He wants to go and ring in the new year. I don't have any follow-up as to whether or not that's going to be allowed. But you know, if you're one of the maggots, if you're a high-level Trumpanzee, even if you're under indictment, you can still ask the court to pretty please let you go out and have a little champagne, a little funny party hat, and play with some noisemakers, dance, you know, drunkenly sing Auld Lang Syne, and, well, just, you know, because, well, it wouldn't be fair, would it? Just wouldn't be fair if he couldn't ring out the old year that saw him get indicted. Right? Damn. And just because of this, I don't want to leave this one laying around till Wednesday next. Dalton, Georgia. Daniel Durward Stats held himself out to be a Christian counselor. No licensure for counseling, because in Georgia, you can be a Christian counselor and have no training in counseling whatsoever, as long as you claim that your counseling ability stems from your religious practices. Unlicensed, and the local court system even used him and included him on their list of approved counselors for court-ordered counseling parties. Nice work if you can get it. Well, one woman was on probation, and she was assigned to Counselor Daniel Durward for some Christian counseling. Never mind why the government would be recommending Christian counselors. Because the First Amendment's nothing more than a life support system for the religion industry. That's why. And when she went to him for counseling, well, that's when he got to fondling of her breasts and exposed himself to her and then talked her into a little oral sex. Because Jesus. Another woman who went to him for counseling sat down to work through her problems with him, and that's when he told her, he, quote, was in an open marriage and the woman could give photos of herself to his secret Facebook page. The woman who was ordered into counseling said she'd chosen this sexual abuser because he was the cheapest person on the list. The judge ordered her into counseling because of anger issues. She was supposed to have anger management therapy. Here's the kicker. He was arrested. Yeah. The Dalton police spokesman, Bruce Frazier, did, however, tell the Chattanooga Times Free Press that one of the detectives working on the case doesn't believe that Daniel Durward Statz's encounters with his clients were actually a crime. I don't know, because Jesus, I guess. Wow. Just, you know, wow. So we're going to see if we can make Friday on the Front Porch work. I don't know. We'll, like I said, all we can do is find out. And, you know, we'll play it by ear. So, with that being the case, we'll take a break and see if we can make the magic work. This is listener-supported conversation radio on a fundraising-free end to 2017. Reach out to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, Sparky Dunk, on Skype if you want in on Friday on the Front Porch. I'm Bob Kincaid. Jesus, I hate this song.
Met my old lover in the grocery store. The snow was falling Christmas Eve. Thank you.
said she saw me in the record store.
Just, you know, had to come up with something. Apparently, Robert in Australia and I are twin sons of different mothers. got a cowbell for this. Robert in Australia writing in, I've never heard that song before, and I never want to hear it again. Not till next year, okay? Meanwhile, Ron in Raleigh says, touched her on the sleeve? Hey, Bob, doesn't that constitute sexual harassment these days? I also hate this sappy piece of crap. Well, I mean, if some, you know what? If maybe somebody said that Al Franken touched him on the sleeve, I mean, getting touched on the waist was enough to get Kamala Harris and Kirsten Gillibrand and the other nice Christian ladies and the one Buddhist to run him out of the Senate. So, yeah, probably so. In the frozen foods, huh? Oy. So we are successfully connected to the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable that is the Friday on the Front Porch group. And if you'd like to join in, you're mighty welcome to. Just send a contact request to Sparky Dunk. SparkyDunc on the Twitter, and he'll get you into the mix. Oh sorry, Brother Deacon Asa says now you don't have an excuse not to play Turn the Page anymore. I always have an excuse not to play Turn the Page. On a long, lonely road. South by southwest, north, northeastward of Busted Knuckle. I was on a bus, feeling terrible about getting to play rock and roll before 30,000 people a night. Yeah, I got a real good excuse. That song sucks. hey, let's go over to the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable and check in with Sparky and see what's going on this evening. Hey, Sparky.
Hey, how you doing, Bob?
It works, you know. I just, y'all, see, I saw your call come into me, bloop, and then I knew I could turn around and hit join call, and we'd be good.
Okay, well, that's not the same as calling me.
Well, it's same enough for me. It's what we did. It's what we did Monday night.
Yeah, but you said you were going to call me like a regular Skype call. Ring me instead of join call.
Well, I guess I'm just using the wrong vocabulary. But yeah, once you added me, boom, we were good. So anybody that wants in, for the most part, can get in. You know, by reaching out to you. Yeah.
Correct.
Success. Success is what counts.
Exactly. Well,
hey, Rick, did you like that song, or why did you post the lyrics?
I love that song. As I wrote in my post there, reminds me of my senior year in high school back in Iowa that's when it came out. So, you know, what can I say?
It reminds me.
Probably went to dances with that music or something. Huh?
It reminds me of when
I was a total nerd. I was like, you know, I was really shy. I just really liked what the song meant and what it said and what have you. I mean, obviously, it's very sappy, of course. Okay.
It reminds me of when I got diagnosed with diabetes.
Well, no wonder why you don't like it, Bob. I'm surprised you even played it.
I had to have something, you know.
Yeah.
By the way, I got a note from Scott and Punky, who says, I hate it too, only played it because the bosses paid me to, but I always kept the studio monitor down so as to not actually hear it.
Oh.
Yeah, it was good. I think that album came out when I was a freshman in college, and I was okay with it for like the first maybe one playing.
Hmm, okay,
And then after that it was like, Because because it's one of those, it's kind of like in a totally different way, it's like Africa by Toto.
Okay.
Which,
yeah. I like that song.
Is a great song. I hear the sounds echo in tonight. Yeah. Right. Until you actually read the lyrics, and then it's just dumb. the lyrics to Toto's Africa make no sense whatsoever. But it's you know, all those guys were session musicians. They knew their jobs. They were expert at what they did, and it made for a heck of a song until you tried to make sense of the lyrics. And the same thing. I mean, if you just consider the imagery, the tableau that song creates of a couple of, I don't know, late 20-somethings drinking a six-pack in an empty parking lot with the snow coming down. You know, that's the kind of thing that winds up being a news story. Couple found frozen to death in grocery store parking lot. And
never happened here.
Well, how about truck driver found dead in truck, frozen in truck, with Neil Gorsuch nearby?
Well, then that would have, you know, that's just conservatism.
Right.
That's just good non-judicial activism.
Right.
Yeah. You know what? We'll miss Al Franken the next time we have to confirm another Supreme Court nominee.
Yeah, the Trump administration. Oh God,
that's another reason for hoping that we get that we can manage to get us a majority in the Senate, because it would be awfully fun. I don't know if Chuck Schumer's got the nerve for it, but it'd be awfully fun to look at Trump and say, "Well, I'm sorry, you've nominated your one Supreme Court justice, and the American people hate your goddamn guts, so we probably shouldn't let you nominate anymore." And just do to them what Mitch McConnell did.
Yeah. And then if worse comes to worse, if we can't, you know, if Trump gets another Supreme Court appointment or two, then we just basically add, you know, another, you know, two justices to the Supreme Court for every one that he's gotten. Just have, if we get majorities, veto-proof majorities in both houses, we could just, you know, pass a law to change the number of judges on the Supreme Court. You know,
the thing is, if anybody bitches about it, I'm sorry, if anybody complains about it, trying to get that word out of my vocabulary. If anybody complains about it, any Republicans say, well, you know, it just sucks to be you, doesn't it? Why don't you ask Mitch McConnell why this is happening?
Yeah, right, right. Ask him about the power of the minority or the majority, I guess.
you know, maybe Trump would like to nominate the guy that Gorsuch is sitting in his seat, Merrick Garland.
And maybe, how about Barack Obama? Nominate him.
I don't think love nor money, nor overt threats would get Barack Obama onto the Supreme Court.
Mm.
He's done. Okay, he's just done.
He's having too much fun as a private citizen again, I think.
Well, I mean, he's out there just swelling around with the royals and shit. I mean, wouldn't
you? Yeah, he spent time at what's the guy's name? Sir Richard Branson's tropical island, you know, for like a couple of weeks after he left office and was like, you know, what was he, parasailing and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
He's in Hawaii for his annual trip there, Christmas trip there.
Okay.
Staying at some rich person's place.
Oh, by the way, here's the update. The Rick Gates story I had before the top of the hour. He's going to be allowed to go and party on New Year's Eve.
Where's he going? What party?
It doesn't say. The folks just his people just asked the court, his lawyers asked the court to modify his home confinement, quote, so that he may accompany his family to events for the New Year's holiday from Sunday, December 31st, 2017, through Monday, January 1st, 2018.
Well, I hope they're going to, as a condition of that, I hope they're going to make him do some drug tests just in case he, like, you know, decides to, you know, get high.
No. The only way they'd do that if he was like getting Medicaid or on food stamps or something.
Well, there you go. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Because then he's a leech, right?
Who is this? What have I missed? I've been gone for so long.
Oh, my God. It's Tracy.
Hi. How the hell is everybody?
She lives. Hey, Tracy.
Hey.
That's Rick Gates.
Back from the cruise, right?
Yep.
Rick Gates, the guy who was indicted alongside Paul Manafort.
Oh.
He couldn't stand it to be alone on New Year's. He needs to be with his family at New Year's events inside the court's jurisdiction in Virginia.
See, you know, it's times like this that I wish I was, you know, it must be nice to be a rich white man. And a brother convicted of a crack, selling crack or just buying crack or whatever, he'd still be underneath the jail. There'd be no conditions. There'd be no house arrest. Ugh. I hate this country sometimes.
Well, there's three systems of justice, Tracy. There's those for the very rich. There's justice for the middle class, and there's justice for the poor. So he obviously gets the justice for the, you know, rich because he gets to hire the best attorneys, you know?
He wants to spend time with his family.
Yeah, you know, I think we should get some Johnson's baby powder, just powder his butt and just apologize for all the inconvenience he suffered from being indicted and, you know, what have you. Don't you think so? We should give him, you know, I think the DOJ should apologize to him and, you know, grovel at his feet, right?
How dare they convict him? I mean, indict him? Jesus.
Yeah.
What's going to happen if there's a conviction?
He didn't do anything. He was just following his boss's orders. Come on.
Oh.
Manafort.
he was only following orders.
Only following orders.
That's right. Yeah, the so-called Eichmann defense, right? Yeah. Just following orders.
And see, if New Year's Eve came during the week, it wouldn't be a horn New Year's if we didn't have... if we didn't have Tim from L.A. in the group to, you know, share the raucous gunfire. that takes, but I mean, it. There were a couple of nights I couldn't tell if Tim lived in Baghdad or L.A.
I think it was replaying the sound from the either Gulf War One or Gulf War Two, Bob. You know, the audio. Oh man.
Yes, but the cruise was great. We got so trip this. So we got, they sent me an email about two months before the cruise, because, like, you know, a lot of people canceled their cruise, and so they sent us an email saying that if we bid, we could bid on upgrading our stateroom to a suite. So I did the lowest bid possible, because, you know, and I'm like, there's no way they're going to choose, you know, they're going to accept our bid. And guess what? They accepted our bid. So we were in a suite with a butler.
Nice upgrade.
Sweet.
Yeah. But it was great. I mean, we had every evening hors d'oeuvres served to us. We had, if we chose, we could order room service from any of the restaurants on the cruise without having to deal with the hoi polloi. I mean, the great unwashed. But it was great.
You mean the hillbillies down in steerage?
Yes, the ones that were actually rowing the boat.
Oh, jeez. There you go.
But, you know.
You didn't know I was on that trip, did you?
No. No, and we had the unlimited drink package, so that was fun. I didn't realize I could drink so much alcohol.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Did you bring back any duty-free booze?
I did. I did bring back some rum. I brought back, we went to the Bacardi distillery, and so it was like $50. You get a cocktail, but then you go through the tour, and at the end of the tour, you get to taste five different Bacardi rums. And they had this, and I'm not a big, you know, drinker of alcohol. That's, you know, I'm a girl.
No.
So I have to do like mixed drinks and stuff like that. I can never drink, you know, cognac and all that stuff, you know, neat or whatever. But they had this one rum that sells for like $160 that was so amazing that I was almost tempted to buy it. But then I came back to reality. Like, I'm not going to spend $160 on a bottle of rum. But, Bob, it was so smooth. The only thing I could think of that if I smoked a cigar, that would have made it even better.
But you were nowhere near Cuba, so never mind.
Right.
So they had so just let me see if I can... tease out the baseline. They had plenty of electricity at the Bacardi distillery.
Oh, plenty. They never even lost power during the hurricane.
You know why? As you sailed past, did you happen to notice a couple of great big-ass wind turbines?
Yep.
Guess what?
Guess what? Yeah.
Yeah, that's why they never lost power.
They never lost power. The cab driver that we made friends with that drove us around the island while we were there, he still doesn't have power. He's still on using a generator.
Jeez. Well, half of the island still doesn't have electricity.
Right. But it was even, and we did see, he took us and showed us a lot of the devastation. But where we were staying, I mean, even where we were staying, you could see, like, apartments that were boarded up and stuff like that. But even with all that, it was still beautiful.
It's a magnificent little slice of paradise. And if we hadn't treated it like a low-rent colony of the United States, they might be back on their feet by now.
Yep. But, you know, I was teasing our cab drivers. My cab driver, I said, I'm sorry we left our paper towels at home. He just laughed. He's like, he had nothing nice to say about Trump.
I can't imagine that there's a whole bunch of people down there who do.
You know, because I'm still, what was the purpose of the paper towels? What were they supposed to do? Was it supposed to be like a Bounty commercial? And they were supposed to soak the water up with the paper towels?
Well,
absolutely.
Yeah, That was showing how much he really, really cared.
Jeez. Oh, my God. I mean,
but out of my, out of my favorite of the islands, I think Barbados was my favorite. It was just so beautiful. We went to Barbados, St. Kitts, Antigua, St. Thomas, and Martinique. But I think my favorite of the islands was Barbados.
How bad was the hurricane damage on those other islands, Tracy?
Not bad at all, actually.
Really?
Well, St. Thomas is a mess.
Well, St. Thomas, actually, St. Thomas wasn't bad. They had, at first, they were going to send us to St. Croix. And then at the last minute, they decided to send us back to St. Thomas. So we didn't spend much time on St. Thomas because St. Thomas was the last stop. But by the time we got to, we were just tired. You know, we went on St. Thomas just to look around, and then we went back to the ship. Sorry about that.
Are you at the car wash?
Are you getting a car wash?
Yes, I'm getting my car washed.
Yes, I can hear it.
I thought your dispatch was talking to you somewhere between the 7 5/8 and the 4 2/3 or something like that.
I'm actually not working. It's been really slow. So I haven't been in my cab really since I've been home. I've just been doing to make extra cash, just to have some cash on, you know, I've been doing Postmates, which is like Uber for food.
Oh, okay.
So it's you know, just to have a couple of bucks until I go, because school for me, work doesn't start back for me until the 8th of January.
Okay.
So it's a living.
Yeah.
I actually, this guy that I just, you know, it's amazing people with money. This guy, my last drop off was at, I had to go shopping for these guys at Gelson's Market. And they actually, are you ready for this? Have me pick up filet mignon. I would not have anybody else pick up my food.
Well, I mean, barehanded or? You...
No, no, but you know, I mean, I'm very particular.
Welcome to the car wash.
I'm very particular about my grocery shopping and when I shop and when I pick out my produce and stuff like that. I wouldn't trust anybody to do that for me. But I guess when you have money, and you don't feel like going to the grocery store, you send people like me to the grocery store.
Well, you know, I guess they figure that, you know, the person who's picking up their food is not going to, like, poison the food or anything, right? I mean, that's sort
of something. But, you know, I mean, I don't know how, when you go grocery shopping, I know, like, Bob, I know how you cook and how you are about food. If you were going to the grocery store to pick out your steaks or whatever, or your prime rib or whatever, for barbecuing or grilling or just cooking in general, would you want somebody else to do that for you, or would you do it yourself?
Well, if I knew exactly what I wanted, but...
And Tracy's got a good eye. They, you know, I'm sure they trust you.
Yeah, they had to. I mean,
you should have just brought him back a piece of gristle. Here you go.
Yeah, and I had to go to one of these gated communities up off of Mulholland. You know, people with money. I mean, three packs of filet mignon with two steaks in each pack.
Maybe one day we'll find out, huh?
Yeah, I just speaking.
Well, when you get it cut like that, you spend more. Why not get the loin and just do it right?
Right. But that's just us, Bob. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can even have the butcher cut it the way you want it if you get a whole loin. You know.
And if you go to the right store, Steve could probably get a whole butcher a whole loin and get it cut the way he wanted and get some Budweiser to go with it.
That's right. You go with my soft crabs. That's right. Yeah. You go with my soft crabs.
There you go. Hey, Tracy.
Speaking of crab, I'm making gumbo on New Year's Day.
Ooh. You invite me over, Tracy?
Every time I invite you over to my house, Rick, you never show up.
I will if you just invite me.
I have. Every time I have, you show.
I missed your birthday party because I don't know, I must have forgotten about it or something.
No, you had concert tickets or something.
Oh, okay. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, always something.
Yeah, that was the night he went to see Tom Petty.
Oh, no.
Or Tom Fogelberg. Or yeah, I
did,
hell that was,
did my dirty business to Tom. What can I say, you know? That's cool.
I'm having steamed shrimp. Tomorrow I'm having steamed shrimp, snow crab legs, and soft crabs. But no micro beers. They're barred from the house, man. No, I'm joking.
Philistine. Philistine.
If you wanted to bring a micro beer, Bob, you can bring your orange flavored beer. That's okay.
Yeah, I don't that.
It's my New Year's Eve party, so.
Your New Year's Eve party?
Yeah, I'm having one tomorrow.
Nice.
Hey, there's never a bad day for a party, right, Steve?
Especially on a Saturday when nobody has to work for 3 days. You can get really hammered, you know?
Yeah. You got it.
Exactly. Now, I wasn't going to make gumbo, but I'm like, you know what? Why not? They have crab legs and shrimp on sale at Ralph's for half price. So
something tells me Tracy makes a mean gumbo. And you're not going to share your recipe, are you?
No,
I didn't think so.
Well, it's not, it's not really a recipe per se. I just kind of do it.
Just pinch of this, dash of that, yep.
Right, exactly, yep. You know.
So I'm going to have to come out to the left side if I want some of Tracy's gumbo.
Yeah,
okay.
Although, and I'm putting this out there early. There's a little more potential for another little mini horn-in this summer.
Oh.
This summer, Netroots Nation is in New Orleans.
Ooh.
Oh, nice, man. We could go and have hurricanes at Pat O'Brien's. How cool would that be?
or maybe find some out of the way places and just drop me off at Mother's and come back later.
BB King's isn't too bad either in New Orleans.
Mother's, is that the nudie bar with the swinging legs, Bob?
No, that's so not that. You've been to Mother's, right, Tracy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I'm going back to I'm doing in March. It was this past summer I saw that movie Girls Trip, and I'm like, it was the raunchiest thing I've ever seen in my life. But it gave me an idea that my siblings and I have never gone away anywhere without our significant others or our families or anything like that. So I decided to do a siblings weekend in March. So we're going to New Orleans.
Nice. So now, the nudie bar with the swinging leg, that's Big Daddy's is what I'm thinking of, isn't it? With the mechanical legs outside that swing from the pole.
There's a million of them. I mean,
I actually drug Karen into one of those, and she still hadn't forgiven me to this day.
I was going
to
say, and she speaks to you?
I don't blame her.
She had to go to the bathroom, and there was all these women dressed.
Been traumatized for life from that.
Oh, yeah, I still haven't heard the end of that one. But
I'm surprised your dogs haven't been traumatized as well due to the trauma to Karen, right?
It rolls downhill, Rick. It rolls downhill.
Transference or whatever. Yeah.
But it has a lot of history. Big Daddy's, it used to be a brothel back in the 1800s, and now it's just a above board nudie bar. So they say.
So when is Netroots Nation next year, Bob?
I was just now looking. I'm waiting to. Let's see here. 2018. Go. August 2nd through the 4th.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, you know, not impossible. Hey, well, really? Hey, let me check in on something real quick. Somebody we have not, it's apparently people we have not heard from in a while, Knight. Waggy, are you in the room this evening?
Yes, indeed.
Well, welcome. It's been far too long. How in the heck are you?
Yes, indeed. It's good to be back, mostly. I'm very well. Almost finished that frickin' degree program, but managed to start a job even before it's done.
Beautiful. So are you still down in Texas?
No, I am in the great state of Virginia.
Oh, not too far from me.
Just a stone throw from Beckley. I checked it out on the map there.
Oh, what are you? Are you at VPI?
Hampton.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because I'm a research computer engineer for NASA.
I'll be dipped.
Yeah.
That makes two rocket scientists in the Horn Family Community Congregation.
There we go.
Wow.
Yeah, so do people joke you about rocket science very often, Waggy?
Oh, not yet.
Okay, well, they will. you should try to get a job at JPL in Pasadena, or I guess it's in Altadena, whatever. It's in a LA suburb near me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that's their headquarters there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice little place to work.
Yeah, a little bit warmer than here, I think.
Where are you right now?
Hampton, Virginia.
Oh, God. Yes. Yes, much warmer.
Yeah.
It's probably it's 80. It's in the low 80s today. What's that, Tracy?
Yeah, it was like 88 or 86 degrees today.
Something like that. It was like 82 when I drove through the valley to work. And then, of course, it's cooler on the west side.
Yeah, 20s here.
Wow. Oh, no? Wow. There you go.
I don't understand that. It doesn't compute with me at all.
No, it's tough. I mean, I was my high school friend went to the Iowa game at Yankee Stadium a couple of nights ago, and it was like 21 degrees with the wind chill down to like 11 degrees, you know, including the wind. And those players were like, there was kind of a dusting of snow on the field, and
it was frozen tundra.
Like, yeah, it was like frozen tundra. The guys couldn't keep their footing, and you know, the field is not heated because it's a baseball stadium. They don't play in the snow like they do.
Are you talking about the Pinstripe Bowl?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, my pinstripe. What?
Yeah, it's bowl game.
Yeah, that's the bowl game that they play in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
You got to be all love to my friends in New York, but I think my New York buddies would even say, yeah, I ain't sitting in New York Stadium in late December in 0 degrees.
Damn, it's cold.
Well,
yeah.
My buddy and his two sons were there. He's an Iowa graduate, and he lives in Connecticut. So they came into the city, I guess, for the evening or the afternoon, and went back after the game. But he said he couldn't feel his feet.
I bet.
Well, that's any night lately in the studio for me.
So the response I had is, oh, the diabetes is working, exclamation mark. He didn't respond to that one. That's a bad one.
Rick.
Well, we've heard from everybody except from my friend Marcus from Germany. You out there, buddy? Or is he just faded away? I see him.
Yeah, he's still
I'm here
on the screen.
What's going on, man?
Not too much. Just trying to keep my throat going.
Yeah. How's the weather there, bro?
We just got more snow. We keep getting snow, but every on the weekend for the last 4 or 5 weeks we've had snow on the weekend 1 week, and then the next week it's snow on the Wednesday. Then it snows on the weekend. Then it snows on a weekday. Then it snows on the weekend.
Where are you? Northern Germany, like Hamburg or something like that, or what?
We used to be in Munich. Now I'm outside of Nuremberg.
Are your power lines above ground or below?
Am I paralyzed above ground?
Yeah, power lines. Electric power lines. Yeah. Electricity. Are they above ground on a pole, or are they below the ground? Can you see them or not?
Most of the electricity is below ground in the cities around there, except for you'll see some above ground, but that's in the outskirts when it's going from long distances. And that you'll see along drive along the train or you drive them on the Autobahn, you might see a few.
You hardly ever lose power, don't you?
No, we've had a couple times where we lost power.
A couple times.
and it goes back up within the hour.
Yeah, it's like Bob and I, we're out for weeks at a time, you know. Well, I really shouldn't speak for Bob, but here.
No, it's okay. You can speak for me.
But it's true, isn't it, Bob?
Oh, it absolutely is. I saw a comparison. It was back in 2012 when we were out for, like, I think we were out a total of 4 weeks out of between the derecho and Superstorm Sandy. And I saw a statistic, something like in the U.S., the average is multiples of days a year. In Germany, it's measured in freaking minutes or hours, you know. But again, if you've got a responsible power grid, it's different from what we got here. And so far we've been lucky because we've got this blue ass cold, haven't had a lot of snow, and so we haven't lost power yet. But we will.
We got about 8 inches of snow, and we lost power for 3 days because it melted fast and it shook the power lines. And for 3 days, man, I was in the dark.
It's
just been a couple of months ago. Yeah, ice will hurt you too. Or I didn't realize this, but heavy snow in their situation, Bob, that'll hurt you too. The real wet stuff, when it goes to melting, and it'll shake the power lines, and it'll bring them down, man.
Well, our power poles are basically toothpicks in the woods.
And, isn't that the definition of insanity, just to keep doing the same thing over and over again?
We've talked about this. Yep. When you've only got, you know, 6 to 12 inches of topsoil, you can't exactly bury the power lines.
But you've got me interested in battery power. I mean, there's Richard Branson or somebody's doing it over in Australia, and it kicked right in. They had a big power outage because of the summer heat surge, and it kicked right in.
Oh no, I've had some Tesla.
Elon Musk's project, I think.
Yes, I got the names confused. Thanks, guys.
I heard that on the Green News Report. They talked about that, Brad's Green News Report.
My whole point is there's got to be a better way than people sitting in the dark in the freezing cold for 3-4 days at a time or more.
Well, there is. If we wanted it, we could have it, but the maggots don't want it. They wanted to make America great again in the dark.
Infrastructure, that's next. I believe that when I see it.
Who needs infrastructure? Come on, you know? I mean, his idea of infrastructure is to make all of our public roads toll roads all throughout the country, right?
And Puerto Rico, I feel so sorry for those people in the mountains. And Tracy probably seen some of this. They're not going to have anything until next summer. I can't even imagine, you know? To treat people like that. It's not human.
Well, Steve, they're not. You know, they're not humans. We're being ruled by lizard people, as we all know.
But
just ask Alex Jones. He'll tell you the truth.
The lizard people, yeah. The mayor of San Juan, Tracy. Do they got power back yet? Did you go anywhere near San Juan or? She must be on hold.
We just lost her.
Yeah, Bob. Do you know?
Well, some. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't believe we're treating United States citizens this shabbily. It's heartbreaking to me.
I thought they lost a couple wind turbines over there in Puerto Rico because of the storm.
Yeah, except next to the rum plant.
Oh.
It's still cranking it out. They got the priority straight, I guess. We got our priority straight. To me, it's really sad.
You guys don't have, do you have smart meters in Georgia?
What do you mean, Duncan, where they don't have to come to your house and read them?
Right.
Yes, we do. All that is, in fact, my subdivision is underground, but I only got a 4-acre subdivision. You get outside that, it's kind of like Bob's scenario, so it doesn't really do us any good. But yes, they don't know. It used to be when I first moved in here, they'd have to come out and physically read your meter. Now they don't. And if you don't pay your bill, they can just cut you off without even coming out.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, hello.
Hey.
Oh, hey.
Hey.
What's up, man?
To whom are we speaking to?
Steve from New York.
But he's in Ottawa.
Ah, what's up, Steve?
Yeah. Is he there?
He's showing being here, but he...
My Skype's been acting funky all evening, too. It'll just disappear.
Oh,
I mean,
stop
it's
it.
It's still there. I'm not making it up, Bob.
I don't want to hear about disappear. It. I don't want to hear about any funky Skype.
No. Let's do the funky Skype. It sounds like a dance.
No, I have uninstalled and reinstalled and rebooted and unbooted and jackbooted.
Have you used duct tape yet, Bob? And a hockey puck.
Well, isn't that phone number the one that Psychotic Rex set up for you?
Well, yeah, that was a million years ago, but that's not the issue. I mean, I don't know what the issue is.
Well, yeah, but the phone number runs through Skype.
Yeah, the phone number runs through Skype, right, exactly. And I can call out on it, too.
And you haven't installed any programs since this happened?
No.
Oh, all right. No, I was trying to be helpful.
No, we did Friday on the front porch without a hitch a week ago. Nothing happened over the weekend, as is wont to be the case. And then starting Christmas night.
That's so odd. And to call a Geek Squad dude out to check it out, it'd cost you a couple $100s.
Oh, no, I mean, and... I have read more useless articles from the Skype Microsoft help community than I care to even admit.
I thought you might have some kind of call blocking service on, but I looked into that. Well, and one of those things come next update, it may fix itself. I've seen stranger things happen.
You know what? I'm gonna try something over the weekend. I'm gonna migrate it to a different computer, and probably go to Beckley and buy some more wires.
See what happens.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good plan. I had to call in on the phone because Skype's not working on the PC here.
Really? You've got problems too, Waggy?
Yeah. Skype, Java, both belly up.
Really?
There you go. Chances are, if something funky's happening to you, it's happening to, you can just count on it happening to other folks, too.
Right, and consequently, Skype support says, we're aware of no problems with our system. Well, you are now, bub.
Fix it, damn it.
Yeah, both of them. They look at each other, I don't know.
Siri says there are no problems.
Wait.
Everything is fine.
Cowbell for both of them. Yes.
Did you update to the new
no.
Skype?
I've upgraded and I've rolled back too.
Oh, because they keep trying to get me to on all three of my machines to try the new Skype, and I said no, not now.
No.
So.
Well, I can tell you the Skype 8. What the fuck ever is a pain in the ass because. You know, you had that nice little menu bar across the top, you know, help, tools, calls, etc., you know, and it was pretty straightforward. And with Skype 8. We hate your guts, you gotta wander all over the place and just hope that maybe you'll click something that somehow or another might maybe have something useful in it. you know, three clicks drilling down through the pop-up interface. It's stupid. Well, and this is
12.10. How did I get so far ahead?
I got no idea. This is what comes of trying to come up with one size fits all apps across platforms.
Yeah.
I'm still running version 7.
Well, this is a Windows 7 machine. And I was running 7 dot something or another, uninstalled it, upgraded it to 8 dot what the fuck, and that thing's just a goddamn mess.
Didn't it just kind of work until Microsoft got hold of it?
Yeah, it was bulletproof. And it was even bulletproof after.
Have you tried the one online?
How do you mean?
You go to Skype website and then you log in and then you use the one online.
Oh, yeah. No, yes. Yes. And it's all the same everywhere. Yeah, it's just bizarre. So
after what Steve said, I've never updated any of my Skype machines. Skype probably have the same version on all three machines where I fold space to.
Right. Yeah. The man cave, and then that one, and then HDTV, right?
Yeah, three different rooms.
Yeah.
I mean, two rooms in the house and one out in the shop. It was too damn cold out there on the concrete.
A little bit brisk today, is it?
Yeah, it didn't warm up. It seems the clouds come in or something.
Well, let's see. What are we looking at here? And I know people further north of me are going to like shut up. Let's see. Tonight's low is a toasty 23. That's manageable. Tomorrow night's low is 10. Sunday night's low is 5. Monday night's low is 3. Back to 10 on Tuesday. 9 Wednesday. 6 Thursday. And then a week from Sunday, the overnight low will be 26. So,
back in Celsius, you're doing all right.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's Fahrenheit.
Bob, stop telling us how cold it is.
Yeah, I know. Stop telling us how to freeze to death, Bob. So we've laid in a supply of propane for the little heaters, and we've broke down and got a kerosene heater. A greasy, stinking kerosene heater. But at least it'll warm 1,000 square feet.
But it stinks.
Oh, of course.
Will you buy
it? Is it worse than the coal?
No, it's just different. It's just a different stench, and arguably, maybe it's not quite as bad for you as coal.
The lesser of three evils.
Yeah, well, there you go. Of course, you know, being a practitioner of the art of word knowing, I could always just rub a couple of dry cliches together and see if I can come up with some heat.
Hey, Bob, when I would go camping, they would always tell you, like if I went snow camping a couple of times, they would always tell you not to keep the Coleman lantern, you know, the propane lantern on inside the tent. And there were damn near a couple of times when I kept it on too long, and I think I started getting lightheaded and probably was getting carbon monoxide poisoning, right?
Well, but this place is drafty enough, I'm not particularly worried about that.
Oh, okay. Got it. Okay.
Don't count on it. Do leave a window cracked. That's got my wife the other day.
Okay. There you go. Gotta take the advice of the rocket scientist there, Bob.
Well, and we know it wasn't a suicide because you're so damn happy, Rick, with all your concerts.
Well, yeah, I don't have any lately. I did see a real good blues act in Santa Monica like last Friday night. I forget the name of the guy. It was like a three-piece band, a few guys. It might have been from Compton or somebody, someplace like that, and just good rock and blues. And then this guy, Guitar Shorty, started playing, and he's, like, tremendous.
Yeah, he plays.
You've heard of him. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he plays Rose City almost every year.
Oh, does he? Okay, he's really good. And they call him Guitar Shorty because he's a short guy. But it was good. We're dancing up there.
He tears it up.
He does. Yeah. And the fans love him. And he just, you know, this one lady just sort of befriended him and, you know, she put her arm around him and stuff. And I walked up and congratulated him and said, oh, great playing. So he just played a couple of songs. And the band, I should remember the band because it was a really, really tightly knit band. They're going to do a live show, I guess. They're going to record it like next year, they said. Yeah. But this is like a, jazz club in Santa Monica. It's been around for like since the 1930s, you know?
Yeah.
So it's good stuff.
Well, if you like blues, the Rose City Blues Festival is every year around the 4th of July.
Okay.
It's a 4-day festival, and it's at the Waterfront Park in Portland.
Yeah, and, Rose City and, Blues. Okay.
Yeah. And
I love Portland.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's almost, you know, sometimes it rains, but yeah, it's just a real mellow thing. And they've got, you know, stages at both ends. So they, you know, the sets run tight, you know, they don't have to change stages.
Oh, that's good. That's
and then they have a, and then they have a third stage for acoustic stuff. So there's always something, you know, if you get burned out on the big acts, you can go catch some people doing some back porch blues and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's cool. Sometimes those second or third stages are better than the first stage, I find, you know?
Oh, yeah, but you'll find it's just a really good variety. I mean, you know, some of the stuff, it's hard to classify it as blues, yeah. You know?
Yeah, yeah. But well, Portland, it's their interpretation of blues, I guess, right?
Yeah, Portland's a real strong blues town.
Yeah, yeah. So have you ever played this festival or not?
Yeah, I played it twice. Okay. Back in the, let's see, once in the 80s, once in the 90s.
Okay.
But I've been out of Portland since 99, so.
Okay.
But I know a lot of the people there that are still alive and still playing. I mean, I played in a band, it was called the Mather Brothers Blues Review.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was like the second or third blues festival, and they're both dead. They both died in their, one died at 48, one was 52. They
Damn.
Were just hardcore partiers and savvy smokers, and you know, just took a big bite out of life.
Yeah. Well,
that was the that first happens. Band, and then the second one was a band that's been revived. It's called Pin and the Hornets. And when I played with them, it was a 9-piece band with a 5-piece horn section.
Okay.
And now he's got it up to, I think he's fielding between 13 and 16 musicians now.
Wow.
Yeah, he's got a full-time organ player and a full-time keyboard player, a full-time percussionist, and then I think he's got 6 horns.
So what instruments do you play, Clarity, then?
Well, as far as blues go, I play saxophone.
Okay. Okay.
But I do a single. I play a electronic keyboard, and I've got a Martin guitar, acoustic guitar.
Hmm.
And I sing a lot.
Okay.
So.
Well,
yeah.
That's people forget that's voices are instruments as well. You know?
Oh, it sure is.
I think that's underappreciated sometimes. You know.
Yeah, I study with a guy that's based in L.A. I do stuff online with him.
Oh sure. Okay.
Yeah, and he when I first met him. I thought, God, this guy's a name dropper, and it's like, no, he knows all these people.
Yeah.
He went to high school with Minnie Riperton.
Oh, okay.
He said she even had a bigger than life voice even in high school. She said she's just stuck out in the choir, you know.
So is she a blues artist or what is she, Minnie? I'm not sure if I'm that familiar.
Minnie Riperton was the she had that hit, "Loving You Is Easy 'Cause You're Beautiful," and then she breaks up into this. Like stratospheric note.
Okay.
Like, yeah, she had a huge range.
Okay, wow. She's not around anymore, or?
No, I can't remember what she died from. I can't, but yeah, she died too young. I think she was in her 30s.
Oh, God, that's horrible.
But she had, yeah, that was her big hit. Just look it up, Loving You, Minnie Riperton.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of stuff I've got to catch up on. I mean, I was re-listening to Bob's show with Tara Devlin, and I've got to, like, in addition to watching, you know, that movie that Scott and Pucky don't want to watch, I've got to watch The Borges. I need to watch some Outlander. I need to watch Tricks of a Skull or Tales.
I tell you what I started watching this week, and it is delightful. It is not historical or anything like that. Well, it is kind of. It's a period piece, I guess. It's set in 1958.
Yeah.
1958 New York, and it's on Amazon Prime called The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Hmm.
And it's funny, and the dialogue is amazing, and there's great. The music selections are wonderful. It's from the same woman who created the Gilmore Girls and Bunheads and a couple of other shows, and it's an absolute delight.
And What's that again, Bob?
The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Oh, okay. I think I've seen it. Is that on Netflix or what?
Amazon Prime.
Ah. Okay, I've got that. Yeah. So I went to an exciting seminar yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Exciting for a tax lawyer, maybe.
Howdy, folks.
Hey, Steve. Yeah. So what's going on in New York City?
I'm not in New York. I'm still in Ottawa.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
My plane just got canceled.
Oh, shit.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You're heading back to New York for the New Year? Is that the deal?
Tomorrow. I got a direct flight from Ottawa to Toronto to Boston to JFK.
Oh, that's really direct.
Direct, yeah.
Yeah.
So any dog sleds along the way or anything?
I'll tell you what, it's -4. So I'm hearing you guys talk about temperatures, and I'm like, oh, contraire, mon frere.
You know, Steve.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Steve, I was just going to suggest maybe you can somehow have them include another leg to your trip, like go to Newfoundland while you're at it, flying all over the place. Huh? Yeah.
Oh, it's cold. It's, like I say, -4. This is a deep freeze. It's going to last a week. Last night it got down to -12. Mm. And the wind chill was about -40.
Jeez. Wow.
It is cold. And I emailed Bob. I said, you know what? Air travel sucks just as bad in Canada as it does in the U.S. So, So it's, you know. And I actually tried to, on a completely different note, I tried to post a video onto the Horn website, and it was only for Canada. I've frankly come to the conclusion that the issues of racism and anti-immigrant sentiment is frankly no different here than it is in the U.S. All Trump did was enable it. Much to my chagrin, to my fellow Hornedonistas, I got to tell you, it's no different here than it is there. Perhaps Ron in Ottawa will dare to disagree, but I'm sorry, it's no different here. So with those kind words, I'm taking Bob's place as the little ray of sunshine. It's no different here than it is in the U.S.
I thought Ottawa was a very kind of a genteel type of a city.
Well, you know what? In the bigger cities, I would say that it is different. But that's like the same thing in the U.S. But when you get into smaller towns, it's no different. It's honestly no different.
Well, you know, the old expression, you know, small town, small mind. I mean, I think there's a lot to that expression.
Oh, I think you're dead on right, Rick.
You know, I mean, that's, you know, just look what happens with, you know, gay folks like youth who grew up, let's say, in West Texas in the middle of nowhere, how they're mercilessly teased and, you know, all sorts of crap like that, you know?
Right. Ottawa's a weird place. You know, I've come to the conclusion that Canada is a weird place. There's much to like, but there's much to knock your head against the wall and say, wow, the hype doesn't meet the reality. And we'll do this in another Friday on the Front Porch. I've come to really look at the healthcare system here and realize how much people in the U.S. have no freaking clue what actually, how actually it is here. This is not a single payer system. So again, we'll get to that on another Friday on the front porch. I don't want to
talk about it tonight. Well, let me just ask you, in your opinion, is the healthcare in Canada better? Is the system better than it is in the U.S.?
No.
Really? Okay.
And in fact, let's just say this, the wait time to see a psychiatrist is 9 months.
Oh.
And the thing is that there is not a single payer system here. Each province has its completely own, has its own system.
Hmm.
And it gets support from the federal government, but each province has its own system. So, you know, Quebec, my understanding is that Quebec healthcare is abysmal. And in fact, people try to come to Ontario because Quebec is so bad. But the wait times, you know, to a certain extent are real. Where Canada far exceeds the U.S. is in the delivery of basic preventive care.
Yeah.
But anything that's outside the norm or whatever, I'm sorry, but the whole Michael Moore, it's just free in Canada, the reality is does not match.
So would you analogize the Canadian healthcare system to, let's say, being in an HMO here in the U.S. where you have a gatekeeper, a primary care doctor you have to go to in order to get referrals to go to specialists, even though you know which specialist you have to go to?
Yes, okay. And I'll give you a really absurd example. My family up here couldn't get access to a flu shot. And asked, can I just pay for a flu shot? And could not do it.
Damn.
They would not allow this person to get a flu shot and pay for it himself.
Hmm.
So,
yeah.
And I think there's plenty of things to like about Canada, but I think we in the U.S. have this almost Pollyanna view of how things are up here, and they believe me, they have their problems. And again, I don't want anyone to think that I'm pro U.S. system, but being up here and getting an intimate view of how things work up here through family up here, I've realized that people in the U.S. have a real misconception about how it works up here.
Are you a dual Canadian U.S. citizen or not, Steve?
I am not. No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Now let me ask you this here. Would you think that maybe part of the problem with Canada's healthcare system is the federal nature of the way the system's administered, because there's different standards for different provinces and so forth?
Yeah. But again, it's not administered at the federal level.
Right. Right.
It gets federal support. Each province gets federal support.
Oh. But kind of like block grants, that kind of thing, maybe, huh?
You know, or something similar.
Something. Yeah.
But, you know, it's like I said, for basic stuff, for access to preventive basic care, it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to anything that colors outside the lines,
mm-hmm.
it's really honestly not that good, and the wait times are pretty bad.
Yeah. Now, what about prescription drugs? Are they that much less expensive?
No coverage. No coverage under the...
Zero?
Yes, zero. Under Ontario, it's called OHIP, Ontario Health Insurance Plan. There is no coverage for pharmaceuticals. You have to buy a supplemental plan to get coverage for pharmaceuticals.
Mm.
But if you had to come out of pocket, you'd still be cost-effective going through Canada, correct?
No.
Comparatively speaking, no? That's another myth, isn't it?
Yeah. The other thing, too, is that they... If you're actually under 25, then it's pretty good. But otherwise, you not only have to pay for the drugs, but you get this this fee for actually filling the prescription. So there's it's called the dispensing fee or the dispensary fee.
Mm.
So, and again, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, gee, we have the best healthcare system in the world. I don't think that, but.
It's certainly not Nirvana, though.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'll be honest with you, I used to be sold on single payer, and I'm not so sure anymore. I frankly think that the Swiss system is probably much better.
Oh, I'm back online.
Yeah, I was thinking that, actually.
I don't know if anyone knows much about the Swiss system, but the Swiss system, first of all, you're required to buy health insurance. And there's, I think as I remember, there's like 200 different companies that compete.
Wait, there's an individual mandate in Switzerland?
Oh. Yes. Bruga can't have that in the U.S.
Yeah, and not only that, yeah, exactly. Not only that, but they're all not for profit. For primary care, they cannot be for profit. That's really where the problem lies in the U.S. with the insurance companies, is that it's for profit. And I think Bob and I have talked about this. Look, there is a legal duty, and Rick will know this, there is a legal duty to put the interests of the shareholders before the interests of the
policyholders. Ahead of anything else.
One is a legal duty, one is a contractual duty. And I have to really say something here that kind of bugs me. People say, well, you know, all the money goes to shareholders. Well, the fact of the matter is the shareholders are nothing but the owners. So, you know, I from a purely legal perspective, I don't have a problem necessarily with the interest of the shareholders going over the policyholders. That's not the problem. The problem is insurance companies need to be co-ops, which means that the shareholders and the policyholders are the same group of people. There is an insurance company called Northwest Mutual where it's a co-op. Mm. And that's one of those instances in which the policyholders and the shareholders are the same people. So they have the same interest.
Right. And there's a third way. I hate to use that expression because it's, you know, associated with the DLC and stuff.
Correct.
The third way would be to have healthcare companies be formed as, what do you call it, public benefit companies.
Right.
Where they can take not only the interests of the shareholders into consideration, but the interests of their customers and as well as the interests of the planet.
Right.
And in
that case, making a profit is not the primary purpose of the company.
Right. Right.
So.
Yeah. I'm representing a client that's
well,
a public.
A couple of points to toss in here. One, I just got a interesting article from Alma. This is kind of a wake-up call. Talk about it being cold up there. The Washington Post with an article by Amanda Erickson today. It feels colder in parts of Canada than on Mars.
Yes.
On Thursday, the temperature on Mars hit minus 20 degrees Fahrenheit. That might have felt positively balmy to some Canadians who are shivering through a frigid cold snap. This week, temperatures across the country dropped way, way, way below freezing. In Edmonton and Yellowknife, it felt like minus 40 degrees. Things felt just about as cold in Saskatoon and Regina, located near the middle of the country. In Ottawa and Toronto, it felt like minus 20 degrees with the wind chill. For comparison, it's about 1 degree at Antarctica's Amundsen-Scott weather station. It's summer down there. On Thursday, the Mars Gale Crater reached minus 9.4 degrees, making it feel warmer than Saskatoon, Montreal, and Calgary. Although at night, NASA's Curiosity rover, and isn't it cool that thing still works, at night, NASA's Curiosity rover recorded lows of minus 112. So take heart, Canadians, it's warmer in Canada than Mars, at least in the dead of night. Now,
send some of that global warming to Canada. God, what a dumbass, man.
The Chinese are ruining the weather on Mars, too. Yeah. Go make Mars great again, Donnie. Go make Mars great again, buddy. Yeah, that's right.
Make Mars great again.
Let's send
them on a one-way trip there. I'd like that.
As to Canadian health care, I do have a note from a real live, no kidding, honest to goodness Canadian. it's a little bit of pushback. I went to the hospital on the 17th of December because I thought I was having a stroke. Left arm was numb for 3 days. They saw me, admitted me immediately, and the doctor saw me in an hour. He assured me that I'm not having a stroke, but need to check out that arm. They booked me in for a CT before Christmas, and I already have an appointment to follow up with the same doctor at the hospital. So,
you know, there are certain people who have. I'm not giving, you know, like typical Fox News, you know, well, people say, or I've heard, these are real live examples from people that I know who experienced it up here. So, I'm not, I hope everybody understands, I'm not saying, gee, it's the best in the world in the U.S., but all I'm saying is for things here. I know for an instance, I had one family member, an echocardiogram. I think it was a 4-month wait, or no, a three month wait. And that particular family member has a sister who is a nurse in Brazil, and told about it, and she was aghast at the length of time. And you know, the other thing too is over-the-counter pharmaceuticals here are really expensive. I've had to bring some stuff up here that were half or third the price. And again, please I know I keep saying this. It's not that I'm so pro the U.S. I'm just
No. I understand.
We get it.
That, you know, as Donnie Tiny Hands so aptly put it, nobody knew healthcare was so complex.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, settle another myth that I've always heard. Can you get Tylenol 3s over the counter at like the 7-Eleven in Canada? No, I didn't think so.
No.
Yeah, I've heard that all my life, and I always knew it was bullshit.
Well, now, on the other hand, there are countries where you can. I don't know if it's changed with recent
hysteria.
You know, recent hysteria, but I remember long ago talking to you know, John Fox when he was down in Sydney, and an aspirin or a Tylenol with a little bit of codeine in it, yeah, over the counter, because nobody down there was like, I think I'll get addicted to die.
No. Let's take half the bottle and see what happens.
You get up the next morning after a few too many pints. You pop one of those things and you're right as rain.
Right.
Well, let's travel around the horn. Kid Mark, how's the health care over there in Germany, comparatively speaking?
It's pretty good. I've been in two accidents, one over in the States and one here. And the health care here was better than the one in the States.
More cost effective, not nearly.
Now, Mark, are you...
More cost effective. They pay for everything, including MRIs and whatnot.
Are you are you an expat?
Oh, hell no. not expat in the sense of that. Not in the sense of that I got up and left. I got up and left, but I didn't sign out.
Okay, but I mean, you're from here.
Yeah, I'm from the States, but I just decided to leave the system while I was in the States. And then I came over here because my girlfriend said it was easier for her, for me to be over here because of I was in the accident.
You get to enjoy the Germany healthcare benefits though, correct?
Yeah, it was better over here, she said. So I came over here, did the stuff. And the next time I was in a car accident again, we had to went to the hospital. Then, of course, we had physical therapy. Physical therapy included everything from acupuncture to normal stuff.
Well, car accident's kind of ambiguous. Let's just say you had pneumonia in your left lung. Would you rather be here or there?
Well, you would rather be here.
Okay.
You would even rather be in Scandinavia for some other stuff, just because in Norway or Sweden, if you have brain surgery, they cover it.
Wow. Holy gosh. And that happened immediately? Was just as long as once you land foot on the soil, or did you have to pay taxes for 6 months, or how did that work?
Well, it happened for me when I got married.
Oh, okay. Oh, that makes sense. Okay.
But it happens to you if you, in the minute you take employment over here, or you just sign in.
Well, thanks for the clarification.
So you married to a nice German girl there, Marcus?
Well, actually, they came over to the States, and that's how I met them. I met them over at the university.
Oh, okay.
Not the East Coast one, SC, but the West Coast one, Southern Cal.
Oh, okay, the real SC. Okay, got it.
So did you have any German language experience before you moved, or did
University of Spoiled Children, the University of South Central, the University?
University of Spoiled Children, exactly.
Yeah, versus the University of Common Little Adults, right?
Or versus the University of Namrata Haley, right?
their football team's playing tonight, I think.
Yeah, USC against Ohio State.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now, Bob asked an interesting question. Did you know any German language before you moved over there, or was it all just hard knocks, which your wife taught you?
My only interest in Germany was mainly Porsche, mainly cars. And then I met the girls when I was working at the USC, and then we started dating. And then, like I said, I got in a car accident, and they were talking about they wanted to move over there, and then they started her career over here, and she's been working for she worked for Disney, then she worked for Paramount, and then she worked for a marketing firm. So, I've been over here since 1998.
I was just a little unclear about, you know, car accidents not being a very, you know, top-notch example, simply because whoever's at fault has to pay. Like, if somebody, you broke a femur and the other car is at fault, then they're liable for your medical expenses.
Yeah, you have
that's the way it works here, you know.
You have the same over in the States as you have here, where you
okay. Like
whether your insurance, whether they pay for it, or whether you have no fault or uninsured coverage, but everybody is insured here.
Right. That's why I threw the pneumonia example at you, just to kind of get my head around where would you rather get sick, here or there, you know.
That, some people have diabetes, such as my father-in-law had diabetes, and he would go once a year.
And they would pay for all his diabetic medicine and all that?
Yeah, that's covered, and they would send him to for physical therapy, and he had to spend 2 to 3 weeks in his place, and they just went through the motions of physical therapy, checked on him, et cetera, et cetera. It was more like Club Med, and then he would get to come home on the weekend. All he wasn't allowed to do was smoke.
Insulin and insulin-like products has went through the damn roof here, man. I no longer have to use it, but I know people that do. And if you don't have insurance, I don't know how you could get by. But over there, you're saying it's covered 100%.
Yep, it's all covered.
Wow.
They just recently got two insurance policies now. They have this one that's that you see for the rich people that you have in the States, and then they have the general one.
So you never accrue any out of pocket expense whatsoever.
You on the general one now you pay part of it. So if let's say you have something that costs $75, you might have to pay the first 10 or 20.
Still, that's not a bad deal, Comparatively speaking, that doesn't sound too
especially
bad.
Especially not with a German income minimum wage.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the good part is that they allow for acupuncture, they have physical therapy, whereas then you go to get massages and all that kind of stuff.
So let me ask you this, Marcus: does the new leading country of the free world need any attorneys?
Hey, if you want to come over, you're more than welcome.
Okay. Well, I'm 3/4 of German ancestry, so maybe that will qualify me. Probably not, though.
It doesn't matter to them. You want to come over and you want to start a business. You want to come over and be part of it.
Okay. But age does play a role. I mean,
Yeah, yeah.
And Mark, in some cases, but for him, since he's doing lawyer stuff, no.
Marcus, did you have to take a test and pass the EU exam or anything? Or?
Well, basically, the EU pretty much goes the way of Germany.
So
the EU exam?
Well, yeah, the European Union. I was under the impression, because I looked into this a long time ago, you had to take a test. And for them to get German citizenry, you had to pass this exam. Now, maybe I misunderstood, but I was reading. This has been 10, 15 years ago.
Well, if you want to do German citizenry, you're just following the rules of Germany, and so not necessarily the EU.
There's no exam.
Well, no, what he's saying is whatever.
At the very end, there's really no exam. The only exams you're going to have are simply
driving. Stop laughing, Steve.
you just have to. If you stay long enough, then you have to. They want you to get a driver's license. If you're in Germany, they want you to get their driver's license after a while, roughly after 3 or 4 years or something like that.
Yeah.
Huh.
I mean, that's what they want. But if you don't, if you never get caught driving with them by them, then who cares?
I just got an operation the other day, and that's your workman's comp. But everything ran was so smooth because I didn't have to pay for it, you know. So like it was paid for by someone else, and you know it ran very, very smoothly. When you got to pay for it yourself and all that kind of stuff, it really complicates everything. And that's why we have such a complicated system, because it's for profit, and you know that's the way it's going to be until we finally do something to fix it. I read an article from, I think it was Forbes of all things, that we in America, we spend more, we're the most ripped off country. We spend more money on everything, on healthcare, on vehicles. You go and buy, you have to buy my Toyota truck. That son of a bitch is like $50,000 brand new. That's half the amount of, or could be the whole amount that you could use to buy a freaking house. Over in places like England and stuff, their Toyotas are like the equivalent of like 15,000-20,000. You know what I mean? And so we get ripped off so bad here. I mean, on prescription drugs, on food, on gas, everything. We're so ripped off here because our politicians.
Well,
don't give
wait. No, you said gas. No. until you filled up your tank in the EU or in Asia, you know, our gas prices are kept artificially low. Most of what we pay, most of the price of a gallon of gas is taxation.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, still, man. Like, when
you
look at anything,
you know, bear in mind, regressive taxation.
Okay. Well, anything else, man? I mean, we are so ripped off here. I mean, it's. And like I was saying just a minute ago, like our politicians want it like that. They want us paying more for every goddamn thing, and to boot, we get to have marijuana be illegal. I got to tell you something. When I didn't really take any of my prescription meds that they gave me for my surgery, guys. Wonder what I did? I smoked weed. And that helped me a lot more. I didn't get constipated. I didn't get nauseous. I mean, it helped me. It got me through that thing. That thing was easy as shit because of it. And the funny thing is, my sister told me that when I woke up, I said to the lady in recovery, I'm ready for a bong hit. I didn't know. I didn't remember, man. I was under, you know, anesthesia. I was just getting up from the surgery. So that's a little fun tidbit. But yeah, guys, man, like we need to legalize marijuana. Yes, it can be addictive too, but not really physically.
I just vaped some Girl Scout cookie a while ago. It was fresh from the hills of Modoc County.
That's the medicine of the future. I'm convinced of that.
We're counting down the hours to legalization here. I mean, January 1st, it becomes legal for recreational marijuana.
Oh, okay. Well, we were thinking about putting that on a referendum. There's a movement to put on a referendum here in Pennsylvania, Stan, for 2020. But these idiots, I mean, these people literally reelected Pat Toomey last year. There's no way they're going to do it. The Pennsylvania voters are really stupid. So
But Blom, why I'm here, guys, because I'm probably not going to get a chance to talk again. I just wanted to throw out there or do like a little plug for a documentary that I saw on Netflix today, actually. It's called Back and Forth. It's a documentary about the Foo Fighters. Anybody who's not familiar with the band Foo Fighters, they're basically the Led Zeppelin and Rolling Stones of my generation. I mean, these guys are freaking rock gods. So if anybody's into that kind of thing, or if you've never heard of Foo Fighters and you're looking to into, you know, some new age rock, check out that documentary. It's pretty cool.
Dave Grohl, I mean, that guy rocks, man.
Oh, he's awesome, man. He is such – he's a cool guy, too. I mean, like, there's footage of him at an airport a couple years ago when he broke his leg. He was on one of the scooters, you know, for his leg. And he was running late, and a bunch of people, dozens of people were coming up to him asking for take pictures with him and autograph. He said, guys, I can't. I'm running late for my flight. And, you know, he was probably hurting and wanted to get home and shit. And he rolled away on his little scooter thing, and then he stopped, talked to the guy he was with. He turns around, he says, fuck it, I'll get the next flight, and just does all these autographs and you know, and pictures with people. And I think that's pretty cool. You're hard pressed to find celebrities like that.
Yeah, he is pretty cool. There was a benefit concert he played at when he had his broken leg out at, of all places, Castaic Lake. It was basically like a get together with a bunch of like Harley folks to raise funds for some really good cause. And so I think he and his band played for free or whatever. And, you know, and they, you know, they had a special, you know, place where he could like sit, you know, and, you know, do his, you play his instrument. I don't know what it was, if he's a drummer or what he is exactly, but,
well, in this band, he's a guitarist. Yeah. I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. I think it was called Love Ride. It was like to raise funds for you know, let's say physically challenged kids or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. Maybe it was for, you know, kids that have cancer, some cause like that, you know.
Nice. I, you know, say what you want about bikers. A lot of them are wig nuts and shit, but they do good causes a lot. They do raise bad. They raise massive amounts of money for kids and stuff like that a lot. I know at least where I'm at. Like I said, we're probably 99% Trump supporters, but I have a lot of respect for bikers because of that. They do that a lot.
Well, you just can't talk politics with them, you know?
Right.
They have a large Patriot Guard unit here in the North State. You know what those guys are?
Yeah.
Is that part of the state of Jefferson, Sparky?
No. They ride military funerals.
Oh, okay. Okay, got it. All right. Yeah.
Escort the hearse to the cemetery.
And keep the Southern, keep those crazy Baptists, what, Fred Phelps and his crew away from the funerals, that kind of thing.
Up here they got a veteran cemetery, that's where my mom and dad are, and they ride, you'll see them coming out of Red Bluff all the time with a hearse, and they'll go up the freeway, and because you have to go like 10 miles up the freeway and then about 10 miles out east of town there. Beautiful setting that looks up at the hills there, and it's out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, they've just been filling that place up lickety-split since they built it. And those guys have been busy. I see them all the time. When I was in Reading, I saw them all the time, and They look pretty neat when they come out.
I guess I was the only one that was seeing the gorilla in the middle of the room while John was talking about, you know, the cost of things, and then Bob chimed in that it's artificially low. And then I said, well, no, not if you include the price of the defense budget, which is defending and protecting our pipelines of our petroleum companies. And I think about the Deep Horizon, you know, we've forgotten about how awful that was and how bad it was for the Gulf Coast. And we've made a deal with the devil and the automobile in this society. That's why we don't have a decent transportation infrastructure. And that's why cities with the automobile, they can be all spread out and they don't have to make any sense for people that get around without an automobile. You know, being in rural America. And it costs a tremendous amount to live in these areas for transportation because almost everybody drives a truck. You know, because it's the cheapest vehicle you can buy new. You know, trucks are cheaper than cars.
Oh, I beg to differ there.
Well,
I guess it depends what kind of truck and what kind of car you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And I think they're cheaper to insure. I don't know what all the whole game is. But what I'm saying is what John was bringing up is right. But it's also the fact that we haven't controlled, the people that are controlling our budget, the military contractors, and that we're in 140. We have troops deployed in 143 nations.
Yeah, once we plant the flag, we never leave.
Well, yeah. And
We're sort of like kudzu in that respect, aren't we? Yeah. The U.S. military.
Well, it's truly imperialism, you know, but mm-hmm. it's capital imperialism. But we also are imposing our diets on them. You know, they're all starting to want to eat meat. And we've developed pretty much all the farmland on the planet.
Yeah, and they want to want to eat Roundup grown corn as well, right?
Well, don't get me started about Monsanto.
Yeah, I know.
But most people don't know the truth about glyphosate.
Right.
You know, we've been sold a bill of goods about, you know, oh, yeah, Roundup can be used by anybody. And I see these idiots out using it when the wind's blowing 30 miles an hour.
Oh, God.
You know, so where does it end up?
In our lungs.
Yeah.
In our skin, in our, you know, fibers, you know.
And it's changing the soils, you know. Yeah. It's killing some of the microbiome, mm-hmm. and you know the soil is a very complex environment, and when you try to make it also into a monoculture like what you're growing, you know, thousands of acres of one single hybrid, your soil becomes hybrided and it won't produce as much.
Right. Well, I mean, ultimately what's going to happen is there's going to be some kind of blight that affects, you know, the monoculture that we have, like whether it's corn or beans or
potatoes,
you know, wheat, potatoes, and we're going to be fucked because we've basically
four crops.
Know, we've limited the number of strains of, you know, the grain and, you know, produce, you know?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, we skated on that one over here.
We've come a long ways as far as what we get for water. We still waste a tremendous amount of water. But there's not going to be any more water here in Eastern Oregon than we have now. So they have to get by with what we have available.
Oh, tell me about water here in Southern California, man. This is like, you know, we are like bone dry here, and it's going to be a really dry season. You know, there was just a brush fire that closed one of the freeways like last night. Yeah. I think they put it out, but it's like, you know, it's going to be, you know, regularly happening, I'm sure, you know?
Yeah.
Well, if we don't get the reservoirs filled pretty soon, you're going to be screwed, Rick.
How empty are the reservoirs now? I thought they were overfilled just like earlier this year, Sparky.
No, they draw them down over the summer.
I didn't know they drew down that much.
Way down for the agriculture. I mean,
well, what percentage are they in terms of, you know?
Well, I haven't checked lately, but it hasn't rained, so I know what they kind of look like. I've been around here for all my life, so I know.
They
draw them down because they don't know whether they're going to get a deluge again, like Oroville Lake got last year.
Yeah. Well,
and that That's a boondoggle, that thing, fixing the dam.
Oh, yeah. That was crazy.
Spillway, this new one there, Bill already has a crack in it.
Well, speaking of environmental issues, I mean, that Thomas fire up in, you know, San Bernardino or Ventura and Santa Barbara County, I think is finally maybe it's like 65, 70, 80% contained. I'm not sure, but it's burned. I mean, it's the biggest fire ever in California, and it's a winter fire. I mean, it doesn't really, you know, you don't have a lot of winter fires usually that are that destructive. But, you know, I was going to drive up to Santa Barbara for a party, and I decided not to because it would have been, you know, I would have been driving along the coast that was basically scorched for like 60 miles all the way from Oxnard north to almost just south of Santa Barbara, maybe even further than 60 miles. It's like, that's just incredible, you know, that it would be that badly scorched, you know? But we're fucked as far as our, you know, our mismanagement of the water and, you know, the increasing population out here. I mean, it's going to be a very tricky balancing act. I mean, people have gotten more water wise and better at conserving, but again, you know, there's only so much conserving you can do, you know, you still need the rains.
We supposedly get some rain next week because it's been damn dry.
Okay.
I don't think we got a drop in December.
Damn. Is there any snow on the mountains overlooking you, like Shasta or Lassen?
Yeah, it's very, very, very thin coat.
Mm.
I can see the top of Shasta through the trees when I look north from the man cave.
Okay.
And then I just turn and look back east, and that's where I see Lassen.
Okay.
And it's got a pretty thin coat on it because there's some features on the mountain you can tell when it with if the snow's deeper.
Right.
You know, it whites out the features of the mountain.
Yeah, that makes sense. So Sparky, are you gonna join the what do they call it? The green what is it? The green rush, I guess they're calling it, with the legalization of marijuana here.
No, what do you mean? I've joined years ago.
No, I mean, like, get into the business.
No.
No? Okay.
No. I mean, you got to jump through hoops to do that shit here.
Yeah, and then you have...
county. Each county gets to make up their own rules.
Right, right. And then you have the problem with, you know, Jefferson Davis, Beauregard Sessions III.
Right, because it's still federally illegal, no matter...
Yeah. I mean... That one place
that to worry about.
They're big down around Monterey, except where they had all the flower greenhouses and stuff.
Uh-huh.
They took those over now. They're going to grow pot in them, and then there's that one prison that Bob Marley's son or somebody really Marley bought is going to turn it because it's all fenced in and everything.
Damn.
And it's able to be a secure place, you know.
Oh, that's cool.
Well, we're at the point now where the medicinal purposes cannot be denied anymore. So that's going to carry this forward. And
well,
I'm convinced,
you know,
it's going to be the medicine of the future. I mean,
yeah, I fully agree with you. I mean, I had some edibles one time. I think I told the group about it. I had too much and could barely walk afterwards. But my shoulder was no longer sore after I had that, you know, better than a muscle relaxant. You know?
Yes.
Yeah, well, my stepson just had surgery on his neck.
Mm. Oh, boy, that's rough.
A few weeks ago. I mean, he's here in the other room. As a matter of fact, he's the one that knows the people up in Modoc County because that's where he used to live.
Okay.
But anyway, he uses it now for his pain. That neck surgery, instead, it cuts down on the amount of painkillers. They give him a whole bunch of painkillers.
Oh.
VA.
Opioids are deadly, man. They're so easy to get hooked on, you know? It's nuts.
And you develop a tolerance to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they bind your bowels up. I mean, they're horrible. You know, they really are.
Like I said, guys, just Wednesday, I had my operation done, and I took like two or three Percocets, and I've just been smoking, and that's been so much better for me. It's helped me sleep and all that. But I gotta tell you, like weed, people do have to be careful when it comes to weed with certain things. Like, you know, I was addicted to weed before. Like, not, you know, I mean, when I stopped, it wasn't too bad. I was able to stop without going into rehab or anything like that. But it does get you hooked, man. And it could cause some severe anxiety attacks when you're trying to stop and you think about you want to smoke but you don't want to, but you're stopping, so you know you have the urge, and it can be dangerous when it comes to that kind of thing.
Oh, it depends on the
come
experience.
On, it ain't nothing like quitting smoking cigarettes.
I mean, I think the key is moderation, like with anything, you know.
It depends on the strain too. It can cause tachycardia. That's a given.
Yeah,
but it's the strain. You got other strains, not so much, you know.
I guess you go with the indica instead of the sativa if you need to be, you know, mellow out of it, you know.
Exactly. And you play around until you figure out what's right for you. And I really think it's going to change the pharmaceutical business, and that's why we're getting so much pushback, blowback.
Hey, I survived the land of the tie stick, so I can handle whatever's going on there.
I'd say that calls for a cowbell if Bob's still around.
Yep.
Or feet frozen, Bob.
Where would I go?
I got dosed one night. I cooked up. We used to make little honey slides, and I made mine and was letting it cool off, and I went and took a shower, came back. Well, while I was doing that, my friend put some extra oil in it, and I hadn't eaten, you know, any weed for quite a while. And I had a gig that night, and by the time I got there, I couldn't even talk. And so I just played all night. I was okay playing, but I couldn't. My, you know, speaking was impossible. And everybody, you know, I asked them next time, was I okay? They said, yeah, we didn't notice anything except you didn't say a word all night. And I was pissed. I was pissed at my friend. He goes, oh, I'm sorry, man. I just added a little bit more in there. I was glad I wasn't driving, too.
Oh, by the way, just to go back to the healthcare issue, I've had a couple of notes along the way. Had a note from Kitty in Boston. Y'all might find this interesting. My ex-husband was born and raised in Paris. At one point, his mother was diagnosed with stomach cancer. Her Social Security health insurance paid for everything. She had her surgery at one of the best cancer centers in the world, Gustave Roussy, nursing home aftercare, and years of follow-up without losing her home or going bankrupt. In fact, other than for things like x-rays, CT scans and the like, she received all her routine care at home. Instead of dying from cancer, she died of old age. That says something. And meanwhile, we've got a new member there in the chat room, Robin. And she sent me a message on another platform earlier and said, I have extensive experience with Health Ontario and complex chronically ill family members that I'd love to share with you if you can get into chat. So that's going on in the chat room, and maybe at some point in time she'll sort out Skype and add to the quantum of knowledge. So welcome to the room, Robin.
Socialized medicine.
Yay, Robin.
Hey, Robin.
No, welcome. Seriously. These are good people. They wouldn't claim me, but this is my extended family. I'm just going to leave it at that. Just because I don't like micro beer, so.
Well, we call it a family community congregation for a reason. And
I'm adoptable.
And you just haven't found the right micro beer yet. And they're not,
all right.
And they're not micro beers, damn it.
I'll keep looking.
They're craft brews.
Craft beers.
Artisanal.
I just think of orange peeled flavored beer whenever I think of a micro beer. Blueberry flavored beer. It never worked for me, but
you're talking about a Belgian wit beer and a lambic, and there's all kinds of different stuff out there.
There's
try,
stuff out.
Try Anchor Steam. Try Anchor Steam. That's brewed in San Francisco.
Now wait. No, he's got a Budweiser palate, Rick. That'll turn his mouth inside out.
Oh my God.
Oh, here we go. Okay. I'm going to get picked on.
What does he start with then, Bob?
To me, mine is drink the Bartles and James. Bartles and James.
Get off
thank
Budweiser.
You for your
support. Yep. What Steve? You're big on Bud only.
No, not only. I just
Pilsner.
I like Bud. I like Bud. I like Miller. I like your mainstream beers.
Oh, okay.
In other words, piss water.
That's what they call it over here.
Pills water.
How about old style?
You guys...
old style? You ever drink old style? Heilman's old style?
Not that I recall. I used to drink a lot of National Bow when I lived in Baltimore, but that's been ages ago.
How about Lone Star beer? That's actually not so bad.
Iron City, I've had that. Genesee Cream Ale, and a lot of the PA beers.
Have you had Mickey's before?
The Big Mouth, yeah.
Rolling Rock,
that's a PA. You know, that originated from Pennsylvania.
Right.
Yes,
yeah.
from the glass line tanks of Old Latrine. It used to be a good beer until Budweiser bought them.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, we got happened. Ohio State scored first against USC. They're up 7-0. So, Steve,
you guys get Yangling?
Yeah.
I'm thoroughly burned out on Yangling.
I love
Yingling. Among other things, they're a bunch of union busters.
Hey, I got an old bottle of Moose Drool in the laundry room refrigerator. Should I open it and try it?
Moose Drool? What the hell?
Moose Head?
Oh.
No, that's the name of the beer, Moose Drool.
Jeez. Yes, I think you should try it, Sparky. Drink it warm, though.
Oh, it's been in the refrigerator.
Yeah. Oh, well, okay. Let it warm then. No, I don't know.
It's been in there for years.
Give it a shot. Never know.
It may work.
If it's hermetically sealed.
If you're going to drink orange peeled flavored beer, you might as well just reach back to the rack and have some Bartles and James. Remember them?
Get a Shock Top. Orange flavored beer.
Shock Top.
Thank you for your support.
Yes, Shock Top, another Budweiser product.
Is that Budweiser? Seriously?
Yeah, that was their attempt to cash in on the success
on the
of,
micro beer. Yep. Not
on micro beers generally, but on the popularity of Belgian wit beer, which was made popular by Blue Moon.
I don't like Blue Moon. I like Shock Top though.
There's Purple Haze, and there's a brewery out of Atlanta called Sweetwater that makes a decent. Okay, I'm going to admit it. There's a few that I don't admittedly own up to very often, but if I will drink one of those occasionally. Check it out, Sweetwater from the ATL. It's got a big fish right on it. Big trout. Can't miss it.
Oh, well, yeah, when it comes down to it, though, I mean, I like some of the craft beer. Well, I mean, I don't drink any of them anymore, but... I like some of the craft beers. I'm not a big hops guy. For me, I just prefer German beers. A Fru or a Reisdorf or a Goffel Kolsch. Kolsch is my favorite German beer style.
Oh, Kolsch is wonderful, Bob.
Yeah, it's the ultimate lawnmower beer in warm weather. And I prefer a German Pils to a Czech Pilsner. What is it? Jever, Jever, from northern Germany is pretty good stuff. There's all Keller beer. My God, you can go crazy over there in the grocery store alone.
Jeez. So what kind of beer do you like, Marcus, since we're talking about German beer?
I'm allergic to alcohol, so I pretty much stay away from it.
Okay, that's too bad.
No, I just make it most of the time.
Oh, really? You brew your own? What do you like to brew?
Yeah, I used to brew over in the States when I was in St. Louis.
Huh.
And then I brought some of that stuff over here, started doing it, but You got to be quiet about it.
Okay. Yeah, I can imagine.
Well, this is a bad place. The CIA always listens to the show.
How do you know? Have you been talking to Agent Fred?
Oh, no, that goes way back in the history of the Horn.
What does he care about the CIA?
Hello, Mr. GI Man.
It was Peter Godbold. Gone but not forgotten. Who first discovered within the first couple of years of us doing this that we were being listened to every night by a Department of Defense website.
Yeah, I know too many heretics to be not taken notice of.
Agent Fred still drops around the chat room from time to time.
Yeah.
So, Bob, you like Grolsch and St. Pauli's beer and
Okay. Here's a little thing that my Kid Mark kick in. My German friends were amazed. This was years ago, when I was telling them about St. Pauli Girl. It's actually brewed, I think, by the same people who do Beck's. It's not even a Southern German beer. It's a classic Pils, okay? But they market
it's
it
not
with
a vice
the,
beer.
They market it with the buxom beer made to appeal to like college guys who can afford German beer. I mean, in college, you know, guys would have these big St. Pauli Girl posters, and it was practically unknown over there.
That's funny.
Grolsch is Dutch, not German. Heineken mm-hmm. is Dutch, not German. Bitburger, help me, Mark.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh. German
beers
are 40.
I'm gonna go through the names that you already said.
Ah, the Daily Double. Okay, German beers for 100. All right.
let's see. Okay, let's see. From the email community. Glenn with a note. Samuel Smith's oatmeal stout. And then Bill in Allentown says, Yingling, the Pottsville family is a big bunch of trumpanzees. And that's the truth. Mm-hmm. And the same thing applies like out in Wisconsin. Leinenkugel, which makes some respectable beer. A bunch of miserable right-wingers.
Jeez.
Now, see, I've got a mission. I'll never fulfill it. But my favorite beer brand in Wisconsin is, damn it. I've got Jenny sent me glasses. Come on.
It's got water in its name, doesn't it? Or rock or something?
No.
Hollander?
No. It's employee owned. Spotted Cow is one of their brands. And that they don't make anything that's bad, but you
it's
can't.
One of those socialist companies.
But
they,
you can't get
owned.
It. You can't get it outside Wisconsin.
Hmm.
So I want to do a remake of Smokey and the Bandit. New Glarus, Glarus, New Glarus Brewing. I want to do a remake. I want to do a remake of Smokey and the Bandit. Only instead of Coors, we'll bring a truckload of New Glarus, like to West Virginia.
So, Bob, are you a Samuel Adams fan?
Not so much.
They started as a little micro hole in the wall that really, really took off. I believe they got bought out in corporate now.
Well,
for
the longest time, it was Boston Brewing Company, but the vast majority of their beer was brewed at the Iron City Brewery in Pittsburgh.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, so much for the hometown brewery.
Now,
right?
There's a delightfully awful local beer if you want one. There's only one place on earth I will drink Iron City beer.
And that is it. And that is at Permandy Brothers on the Strip in Pittsburgh. If you don't have an Iron City with the, then you know you're not getting the whole experience. But apart from that, it's awful. I mean, in my college years, my fraternity went through more kegs of Iron City Light, and you want to talk about a beer that's like sex in a canoe? Good God Almighty! I mean, we're talking about fucking close to water. I mean,
even Stephen King writes about Iron City. It's
the water.
It's notorious.
Iron City beer made with water you can cut with a knife, but use a spoon to get every drop. Hey, we got to get out of here. The evening has run away on us again. So
good show,
these
Bob.
Things
Thanks,
happen.
Friend.
Yeah.
And very kind thanks to the anonymous contribution that came in.
There you go.
January, my first paycheck.
And so I presume the program will return on the second day of January, and we will go from there. But thanks, everybody, for jumping in. It's been a rousing good conversation. Waggy and Tracy, it was especially good to hear from y'all in light of the fact that we haven't heard from you in a very long time. I was thinking about you just the other day, Waggy, wondering what had become of you. I actually do that kind of thing. And it's been a lovely fundraising-free week. Thank you. Sorry, come January 2nd, we're back on our heads again. I wish it was otherwise. But in the meantime, Happy New Year to everybody. Be safe. Remember, New Year's Eve is amateur night. So if you don't have to be on the road, don't be on the road. And if you don't have to drink with amateurs, don't drink with amateurs. A little bit of sage advice. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaged in the program. Thank you very kindly to everybody who keeps the program on the air. Thank you ever so much to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you through the week to Sparky and to Midweek Utility Pinch Hit chat room moderator and all-around great guy Steve from Georgistan. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox and Ben Birch. Thank you, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Happy New Year's, y'all. Have a good weekend. Talk to you Tuesday. Bye now.